Upset World. Upset World. Welcome, guys. Talking sports. Welcome, man. Your boy, Dre, D-R-E, Andre. Rob Ford, have you joined the line?
Rob Ford is here and ready.
That's good. I don't have to call you any names so far, man. So, falls well. Once again, welcome, guys, to Talking Sports, the 12th Man, on this beautiful day, July the, what's it, 12th, 13th? What's it, the 12th? Today? 13th?
July 13th, 2011.
Wow. 2011, yeah, and I apologize. Whenever I work, I always think a day ahead. So all is well, but got an exciting show once again for a whole world out there. And don't forget, we are on Facebook with Talking Sports 12th Man. Check us out there. And obviously, looking forward to a lot of posts, good things, and that stuff as well. So I guess let's go ahead and dive right in. And I guess one of these days I'm going to let Rob lead the episode here, but a lot of good things to talk about. First and foremost, you want to jump right into the NFL, Rob, or where do you want to go first here now that we're getting near the end of the lockout, it looks like?
Yes, looks like the target date is July 21st. We were hoping last week on the show, we were hoping by this Wednesday that the lockout would be resolved, but still not officially resolved, but it looks like here by July 21st, if everything goes well, we should be having an end to this lockout. And then starting July 25th, teams will be able to sign undrafted free agents as well as sign their own free agents. And then I think somewhere around July 28th or 29th, teams will be able to sign unrestricted free agents. At that point. So it looks like we may be getting somewhere. I haven't got an update on our meetings, how they went today, but I hear today and tomorrow's meetings are very important for them to my 21st. So hopefully.
Yeah, and I guess another good point, too, that you said that any updates are hoping for, too, it's interesting because I don't know if you read the story about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees got together and said, hey, guys, let's just kind of come together. The deal looks good. We're ready for some football. So hopefully I don't think it's extra pressure, but just kind of one of those things where they're just kind of coming aboard and say, hey, you know, we got the majority of the stuff that we're looking for. Let's get down to playing some football and get this resolved.
Yeah. And I think from the player standpoint, the players feel like that they – a lot to the owners, but I don't think they feel like the owners have anything to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think from the player standpoint, they're trying to get the owners' attention, like, hey, we've conceded a lot. Let's end this lockout. Let's move forward and play some football. So in other words, they're kind of throwing it to the owners and saying, hey, let's end this. You know, we've already conceded a lot. And, you know, I think one of the main issues right now is over first-round rookies. As you know, in years past, you know, most first-round draft choices were signed to 5 or 6 year deals. Now they are trying to get them to sign 4 year deals with a 5th year option. A little bit similar to what they do in the NBA, but not exactly the same. The NBA is mostly first-round draft choices signed for 3 years with a 4th year option. And so that's the owners would like a 5-year contract with a 6-year option, and the players are wanting a 4-year with a 5th-year option. So I hear that's probably like the last, you know, squabble that they may have, and hopefully they'll get that resolved here pretty quickly so we can have football. It looks like, you know, teams that were scheduled to have training camps out of town, most of those teams are pretty much decided they're going to stay home this year. And even the Saints, every year they practice with the Houston Texans for about 3-4 days every year, and they've even gone ahead and canceled that already. So this will definitely be a different kind of off season, a different kind of training camp kind of feel than what we're used to in years past.
Gotcha, gotcha. And I guess from those that are kind of not sure what the deal is, why do you think it's such a sticking point as far as the owners wanting that 6 year and the players only wanting the 5th year? Why do you think that's kind of a big deal?
Well, from the player standpoint, the players, you know, they want to give the players a chance to be free agents as quickly as possible. And the owners want to keep them on their rosters as long as possible. So I guess that's the difference. The players would like to have the option of being a free agent as quickly as possible. The owners would like to have the player signed for next year, so they don't have to worry about restructuring their contracts a year earlier. And so so that's basically what the struggle is. From that front, the players, like I said, you know, would like that freedom, and the owners would like to have them signed for next year.
That's a simple one. Okay. I'm like, so I don't know if there's anything special to as far as like salary wise or anything like that, but you know, definitely, hopefully due to everything that's going down, that it will be very similar to the NBA as far as having smaller contracts. And hopefully if you've been in the league a little bit longer, if you're a veteran player, that'll give you, you know, more money for you, you know, once you resign, or if you, you know, try to go into free agency, which is obviously the way that it should be, as opposed to these rookies getting these huge contracts and having, not even getting a chance to even play in the NFL, and they're making all this money. So, I definitely think that's a good way to move forward, and maybe some stuff as far as pension stuff. But, yeah, as you said, let's get this thing wrapped up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Let's wrap this up.
Good deal. Well, you know, I guess, you know, and if you have anything else to say, we're going to jump right into talking about the defensive linemen that were drafted in the NFL and who we think is going to make an impact. Does that sound good? You want to kind of move forward to that?
Oh, yeah, let's move on to that. And I guess the first player that we can talk about in that regard is the first defensive lineman taken in the draft, Marcell Dareus, the 3rd pick to the Buffalo Bills. I think here's a guy that may even play defensive end in Buffalo Bills' 3-4 system. This is a guy that's going to be very disruptive in the NFL, very quick first step for a guy his size. And I can definitely see him starting from day one with Buffalo and definitely make an immediate impact in the game. He arguably could have been the very best player in the draft. You know, I think, you know, Carolina couldn't pass up on the quarterback at number one. Denver felt like they couldn't pass up on the best pass rusher in the middle. But you can easily make a case. And in my personal opinion, I think the 2 best players in the draft, 1A and 1B, were Marcell Dareus and Patrick Peterson.
Wow.
But I think those guys are going to go in and have a huge impact. Not to say that other guys are not going to have a big impact, but I just think, in my opinion, Dareus and Peterson were the best players in the draft that will definitely come to you right away. And I think Von Miller may be just slightly a notch below them. But, you know, it's hard to pass up on the best pass rusher in the draft as well. That's a little bit. What are your take on Marcell Dareus?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I agree with him. I mean, he was very, very dominant in the SEC playing with Alabama. And just, you know, has it all, can rush the passer, can stop the run. You know, like you said, very much of a great impact player. And I guess my question to you, it's kind of one of those things where it's really strange because I think he's going to fit in great with Buffalo, and hopefully he's going to, like, change what the stigma is that defensive players can make an impact from the defensive tackle position, because I think the last player to make that much of an impact was a Warren Sapp, you know. So, you know, it's really tough to come in there and to be destructive, you know, I guess destructive and disruptive, if you will. So I guess this, a lot is on him, but I think he's up to the challenge, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do for the Bills, you know?
Yes. You know, he's not going to a winning organization, but as you know, in the NFL, you can easily go from last place to first. And I'm not saying I predict that with the Bills, but I definitely can see him making an impact. He definitely has a high power motor. He's a guy that gives his all on every play. So he's not one of these guys that take plays off at all. Another guy.
You know,
down. Oh,
Go ahead. And we're going to go the same route. Go ahead. I know. Go ahead and tell me who you're thinking of here.
I'm thinking of Aldon Smith, defensive end from Missouri. San Francisco took him number 7 in the draft. He's a guy that's a little bit versatile. He can be a defensive end in a 4-3 as well as outside linebacker in a 3-4. He's definitely a guy that I thought was picked slightly higher than I thought he would go. But here's a guy that will be a solid pass rusher in the NFL. He needs to work on his run defense a little bit. But the 49ers plan on using, a lot of guys in rotation with Manny Lawson, Travis LeBoy, Mod Brooks, Paris Harrelson. You add him to the mix there. You got about 4 or 5 guys you can mix in that could rush the passer, either from the 4-3 or the 3-4 outside linebacker. Just depends on which defense, Vic Fangio decides to run there in San Francisco.
Wow, that's funny because you kind of threw me a curveball because I thought you were going to go with Nick Fairley. So that was pretty impressive there. you want to talk about with him a little bit, or you kind of want to wait till?
Yeah, we can move on to Nick Fairley. Yeah,
Nick Fairley. I thought you were going to go with him. That was good.
Fairley is obviously a guy that at one point most people thought would be the number one pick in the draft. But I think what a lot of NFL scouts' concern was that is he a one-year wonder? And I think that kind of caught up with him. When you look at his film, there are times you would definitely think he should have been a number one pick. He explodes off the ball. He gets in the backfield. He brings ball carriers down as a run defender. And he was a pretty good interior pass rusher, too. So you look at his film, you can definitely see at times he looked like he could have definitely been the number one pick. And Detroit might just have themselves a steal. I mean, you put him and Ndamukong Suh together. Detroit, if you look at their roster, they have really stockpiled some young talent. I don't know if this year is going to be that year, but I think the key for them is going to be Matthew Stafford staying healthy. And if that's the case, another year or two, this team could look like they can make a serious run with the talent that they're putting together.
Yeah, I definitely concur with what you're saying, too, because you nailed it right on the head as far as him. Whenever at the end of the season versus Oregon, everyone's like, yeah, he's pretty much penciled in going to Carolina. And obviously months pass and things change, obviously. But, I think it's a great situation for him because you put him next to – Ndamukong Suh, and he's going to have one of the biggest impacts just because of everyone's going to try to be, paying attention to Suh, and he's going to be able to do what he does best, which is rush the passer and kind of be disruptive and everything like that. But, everything you said is accurate. The Lions have a great young nucleus as far as defense and as far as, adding pieces. And they are a quarterback away if you want to believe everything what they're saying. But if Stafford kind of stays healthy, then, like you said, I don't think this is going to be the year, but I do think they're going to, they should make the playoffs. Hopefully they'll make the playoffs. And, a couple of years, this is going to be a team that they're definitely going to be a team to reckon with, which is very surprising to say that the Lions are a team that we're going to be reckoning with. So, we'll see how everything plays out, too. So, another guy, I know we can talk about Cameron Jordan, but I wanted to talk real quick about, what do you think about Cameron Hayward? And the reason why I bring up a player like him, because the Steelers always seem to draft effectively. Now it's going to get players that fit their system. And are we going to be sitting and thinking, man, a lot of teams pass on this guy? Or just more or less, is he playing in a good system that kind of fits to what he's doing?
Well, yeah. He's definitely a very talented guy. And I guess the question with Cameron Jordan is, I think a lot of people around the league just wondered where was his best position going to be. Is it defensive tackle in the 4-3 or is it defensive end in the 3-4? And he doesn't have elite athleticism, but he's strong and powerful. He's got heavy hands and he's quick. And he's got a compact punch. He's relentless. But like I said, he lacks a little bit of athleticism, and that's why he went later in the first round. And some people even gave him a high second round. strong defensive lineman draft, too. It's probably one of the strongest positions in this year's draft. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of depth at defensive end and defensive tackle. And so, I mean, obviously in Pittsburgh, he's going to be a 5 technique in the 3-4. So he's going to be a defensive end. And in Pittsburgh, like I said, they usually draft defensive players pretty well. So I kind of see him being in the right situation at the right time, going to a team that I think is going to really coach him up and put him in the right place on the field. I mean, they've got a great history of drafting guys, you know, put them in positions to succeed. I tell you, another guy who I really like is Muhammad Wilkerson from Temple. I mean, I tell you, this guy would have came back to school another year, and if he was at a school with a little bit more competition, this guy could have easily been a top 10, top 15 pick. I mean, the Jets got him at number 30. Man, I think this guy might be one of the steals of the draft, too. He's 6'4", 315. You know, he's more than likely going to be a 5 technique in a 3-4 with the Jets. I mean, this guy is powerful. He's quick. He's got explosiveness off the edge at the point of attack. I mean, this guy could be a huge steal. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy, I think, would even be a solid pass rusher from the 5 techniques position, which in a 3-4 defense, you usually rely on your outside linebackers to get the sacks. And I think this guy can easily average 9-10 sacks from the 5 technique position. Explosiveness. And I think he might be a real steal in this draft. Yeah, I don't know how much you know about him, but I think this guy may be a steal.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, most people aren't watching a lot of Temple games, too, so unless you're an NFL scout, obviously. But, it should be interesting to see what type of impact he's going to make because he's a pretty big guy, 6'4", 315, as mentioned. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are like, who is this guy? But, I'm going to keep an eye on him as well, definitely playing for the Jets. Now, you know, he's going to a great situation, too, because the Jets are going to have a pretty good defensive, coach, and, you know, obviously that's what they're built upon, too, so that's good, too.
Yeah, I know we're taking a lot of this position, but I think this is one of the deeper positions, was the deepest position in the draft. And, you know, of course, being a Saints fan, I have to talk about Cameron Jordan here a little bit as well. And Cameron definitely has the measurables, 6'4", 290. He's got long arms and massive hands, so I think he's a guy that can definitely deflect balls at the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's going to be an elite pass rusher, but I think he'll be the kind of guy that can get you about 6 to 8 sacks. But he's very strong against the run as a defensive end. And so I think that will be – and also on passing downs, he'll be able to play in the inside. And so they'll move him around a little bit, probably move him inside on passing downs. And he's got a strong football background, so that helps. I don't know if you remember his dad, Steve Jordan, was a tight end for the Vikings for many years. And so he's got a little football background in his family as well. And an extremely bright kid, too. You know, no dummies get in the University of California, as you know. Cal Berkeley. Yeah, so but I think he's definitely a guy. Like I said, I don't think he's going to be an elite pass rusher. But I think he's a guy that can get you about 6 to 8 sacks and would definitely be strong against the run and can deflect some balls at the line of scrimmage with his athleticism. And another guy real quick, Phil Taylor, defensive tackle from Baylor, 121 to Cleveland. This guy is massive. 6'3", almost 340 pounds, his nimble feet. You can move him around as well. This is a guy I think is going to help the Browns. He's going to be a huge spacier in the middle of their defense as well, as I think they're looking to go back to the 4-3 in Cleveland. Yeah, man, I don't know if there are any guys you want to talk about from the Falcons standpoint. I don't know if y'all drafted any defensive linemen. I know Tampa, another team in our division, Adrian Claiborne, they drafted him in the 20th pick from Iowa. And a little bit of a medical concern with him, but if he's healthy, this guy is could be a very strong end, good pass rusher. He's got great moves, and he could really help that team. But he suffers from what's called Erb's palsy, which limits the range of motion in his right arm, which will mean he'll probably be a better fit to play on the right side where he can protect that arm. There was some concern about him dropping to the second round with that condition, but Tampa took a chance on him on his talent and drafted him number 20 overall as well. Yeah, but like I said,
taking a shot on Daquan Bowers too. That's another guy that they took two guys that were questionable too, but just very talented too. So very interesting as well.
Yeah, Daquan Bowers is a guy that people are saying that Tampa will be lucky if he plays 4 or 5 years, which is like, wow, that's amazing.
Short career anyway, but if they get the most out of him with that, then I guess they feel good about it. So I don't know, it's gonna be interesting. It's funny you mentioned the Falcons. What looks like what we're excited about is free agency, because we are hopefully looking to target a guy in free agency, whether a Ray Edwards or a Charles Johnson. Those are the targets that we're looking at too, and we drafted a guy named Cliff Matthews from University of South Carolina, and I guess we're hoping that lightning strikes twice in a bottle, because that's where John Abraham came from, and he's built eerily similar to John Abraham. He's kind of about 6'4", 250-something pounds, and the thing about him is he's been a team leader and just kind of a freakishly athletic guy, too, so that's what we have, drafted him in the 7th round, so, hopefully, like I said, he's kind of built similar to John Abraham, and not saying that he is John Abraham, obviously, because that's amazing if he even turned that, but, same type of, physique and stuff like that, too. So we'll see how it plays out with that.
Exactly. Yeah, you never can tell. That's why you drafted these guys. I know the Saints also took another defensive end in the 7th round, too, Greg Romeus from Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And here's a guy, his senior year, suffered from a major injury. Most people had him going somewhere around the 1st through the 3rd round, but his injury set him back all the way to the 7th round. So I think they're even hoping that they might have themselves a steal if he's able to come back from his injury. So that's more of a wait-and-see kind of approach. He's about 6'5", 265. And as far as the first round guys, I think, like I said, this was a very deep position. Corey Leggett from Illinois, defensive tackle. San Diego took him to 18. I mean, he's another guy that can come in and probably start right away. I mean, he's a guy with nonstop motor, plays with great pad level leverage. I mean, there are a lot of great defensive linemen in this. I mean, some real steals. Ryan Kerrigan, going to Washington at 16. I mean, by far, the deepest position in the draft this year. And Robert Quinn from North Carolina, I mean, another guy who could add instant pass rush presence for St. Louis. I mean, this guy can definitely come in and be a 9-10 sack kind of guy on average. And last but not least, but J.J. Watt, defensive end from Wisconsin, going 11 to Houston. This is a guy who can play defensive end in a 4-3 or be a 5 technique in a 3-4. Another extremely versatile, high-motor guy. And I mean, like I say, this was definitely by far the deepest position in the draft this year.
Wow.
So I know we spent a lot of time on that.
No, and like I said, I know everyone out there, you guys can tell that we're definitely all about football and NFL, too. And we throw some college in there, too, but that's definitely where our bread is buttered, if you will. We're definitely big fans of the NFL, which is why we can talk about this for so long. Wrapping up, we are getting near the end. And I guess two questions as we get ready to wrap up. The question I had for you is, what do you think about, the Rams? I thought the Rams were going to target an offensive player, a wide receiver, to go along Sam Bradford. So I was kind of surprised that they did that, even though, Robert Quinn is a good pickup. About that. And then the last question I have for you, too, is, I'm hearing stuff that Cam Newton may not start for the Panthers because of the lockout, and they may go to Jimmy Clausen starting out the season. So kind of want you to get your thoughts on that. We probably have about 3 minutes to go for the show and go from there.
Okay. Okay, real quick, I'll address the St. Louis situation first. Well, I think you guys, the Falcons, stole a little bit of St. Louis Thunder because I believe St. Louis had their eyes on Julio Jones. But I, based on where St. Louis was picking at 14, I don't think there's a receiver that was worth that grade at that pick. So I think they did the right thing. And, you know, there are a couple of wide receiver free agents. There was Santana Moss, a few others, Braylon Edwards. I mean, I can't recall, but I know they drafted a receiver in the second or third round I think can help them. I can't recall exactly who it was. But I think they're going to look at some free agencies at that position. And I think they did the right thing standing pat. You know, after A.J. Green and Julio Jones, there really wasn't any huge wide receivers that, you know, that were worthy of a pick at number 14. So I think, you know, getting a guy like Quinn that you compare up with Chris Long, improve that defense. You know, Spagnuolo's a defensive coordinator. And, you know, he helped the Giants win the Super Bowl with Strahan, Justin Tuck, and O.C. Umanura. So, you know, the guy knows something about putting together a quality defensive line. And so I think, you know, that's, you know, you build the pieces as you go along. And I think they're going to look for someone in free agency. And getting to Carolina with Clausen, I think the interesting thing about this is I think the lockout actually puts Clausen and Cam Newton almost in the same situation because neither one of them has had the opportunity to work with. They have a new coach. So, I mean, if you had the same coaching staff coming back, then I can see Jimmy Clausen having a slight advantage. But I don't see anyone with an advantage because they have a complete new coaching staff. And neither one of them has had an opportunity to practice with the new coaching staff. So I think they're coming in both brand new and fresh. I give Cam Newton the edge there. I mean, unless you bring in a veteran quarterback like a McNabb or somebody like that to bring Cam Newton along. But I would agree with that if they kept the same coaching staff in place and John Fox. But my opinion, since it's a complete new coaching staff with the lockout, neither one of them had an opportunity to work with the new coaching staff. So I still give Cam Newton the edge. I think his athletic ability would take over that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was something that they were talking about today because they happen to say, like, you know, because of what's going on, I mean, you know, Cam Newton hasn't strapped on any type of, you know, hasn't suited up for, you know, in the NFL. So he may be slightly behind Jimmy Clausen, and then they're going to, like, start him to kind of take some pressure off. But, you know, like I said, I'm kind of like, I definitely interviewed you that, you know, they drafted him to be the number one pick. He's got to come in and definitely prove his worth too. So that's just something that that we're going to have to see how it plays out. And with everything going on, hopefully the next time we talk for our next show, we'll have some more information about that. But we're about, I want to say about 60 seconds in. So I guess let's wrap up this show. Another great segment, even though we spent a lot of time talking about the defensive linemen. I guess next week we're going to dive into the outside linebackers, who's going to make an impact.
Yeah, we can just do linebackers as a whole.
Linebackers. I didn't mean to get outside. I was thinking linebackers. Yeah. But linebackers as a whole. And then we'll see if hopefully we'll get some news about the lockout as always. And because it's going to be fast and furious, if you will. So, you know, if anything happens with the NBA, we'll keep an eye on that. We missed talking about the All-Star game. You know, obviously great to see that. The National League came through. But, you know, that's pretty much how it plays out. But talking sports with the 12th man. Rob, you have anything to wrap up as we end this episode, if you will?
Join us next week, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. 5 p.m. Hawaiian.
I love it. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us. Talking Sports, Dre, Rob, we'll see you guys next week.
All right, good night, people.
Good night. So this coming out. Good job.
had to add the Hawaiian time in there.
I like it. some audio in there. I gotta figure out this app. I just got my iPad, so I gotta figure out if there's an app for Blog Talk Radio in there. Because if I can do that, I can literally like do the app, do the audio stuff like that from my iPad. So we'll see how that plays out.
Is the iPad pretty cool? You got an iPhone and an iPad.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Good stuff, man.
Whitewater Raptors still on the 24th?
Yeah, we're still on the 24th. But as mentioned, like you said, I'm guaranteeing it's not going to be the only time that we're going to be doing a Whitewater Raptors trip, too. So don't feel like there's no love, man. So, we're going to have. Yeah, I'm like I said, we're looking forward to that definitely, too. So stay tuned for that, too, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, way to come in there too. I was like, man, what am I gonna talk about? I was gonna talk my head off, man, about some draft stuff, man. That would have been a little bit more boring if you were just hearing me. But good stuff.
Yeah, I think the only thing we keep. I know we've talked about doing this for a couple of weeks, like predicting who we think is gonna win each division in NFL. We didn't get to it last week. We didn't get to it this week, but that's still good. I mean, we talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
You got to, like, definitely, yeah, let me jot that down, too, because if I don't see it, like, the agenda written out, then mm-hmm. I'll kind of skip. I mean, I know that we're going to talk about each position, so I guess that's definitely a good point to who's going to win.
Yeah.
Are we going to go, like, division, are we going to talk about each, are we going to say, you know, NFL South, AFC, are we going to go like that, or are we going to go, is it going to be quicker when we spend some time talking about each individual team, you think?
We can give our predictions for the 8 divisions. And then, you know, if you want to start, you know, talking about 3 of them, because, you know, pretty soon we're going to be done with these draft prospects. I mean, all we have is linebackers and secondary left.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Specialists, come on, man. I'm shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I said specialist, but I was just joking there.
Yeah, we'll have to worry about that one.
You want to talk about specialists, man? You want to talk about kickers and punters, man? Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see here. Yeah, we can talk about that.
Just talk about the divisions, who we think is going to win each division, and then maybe we can start breaking down about 4 or 5 teams each every week and, you know, giving a little bit more in-depth analysts on those particular teams.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. That sounds like a plan. I'll start jotting those divisions down and making a note. And
but do you think we should talk about the team first and then the closer to the season we make our predictions for the division?
I think we can talk about the teams and then as it gets closer in. I'm kind of torn, though. I do like the making the predictions because you're kind of like, it's kind of fresh, you know? Let me think about that. I'm writing down the divisions right now, so we'll have something to kind of reference, if you will. Yes,
mm-hmm.
East, west, north. Okay. Yeah. And they already have the football magazines out, too, so that's interesting, too. So it's playing right into what we can talk about, too. So that'll be good. All right.
Yeah, I need to go out and get them.
Yeah, division winners. Yeah, let me think about that. I'll have an idea next week what we want to do. Because like I said, you know, it'll take us probably, if you talk about each team, there's 4 mm-hmm. teams, that's going to take us like 2 weeks, and we can talk about, you know, say you spend like 5 minutes or something like that. That may work out as far as, you know, talking about that division and who you think is going to be, you know, is going to be ahead.
Yeah.
Because once you knock out the linebackers, that's it. You know, linebackers, you may be able to do linebackers in secondary, if you will, and then, like, you know, the following week, you know, as that the lockout's over, then
yeah,
we
that's
can
what
talk
we can
about
do. We can talk about the linebackers,
yeah.
and then we can talk about two divisions each.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
we can decide which two divisions, and, you know, it'll take us 4 weeks to go through divisions. And, I mean, that'll take us right up to the season.
Yeah, but then, like I said, there'll be some free agency stuff that's going to go on, too. So we're going to talk about free agency, too. So remember that. Like I said, next week we'll hopefully have something about lockout. And then the following week they're going to – we'll talk about free agency. And then, you know, we'll have to put all that in, too, for predictions and stuff like that, too. So I think it'll work out. Not any problems.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Good deal.
Sounds good, man.
As always, well, like I said, I'm going to be gone one of those weeks, too, so we'll have to squeeze some stuff in, too, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just keep me posted.
All right.
One of those wins, I mean, well, yeah, we'll see. But I'll be in Houston one of those Wednesday nights, but I still might be able to do it, though.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's no biggie. I'll be in Hawaii, so you talk about definitely Hawaii time. It'll be like, it'll be like 4 o'clock my time. I'm like, yo, Rob, what's up? we'll see if we can make that happen. But yeah, it'll be good.
Okay, T. All right.
Good deal. All right, sir. Well, have a good day. We'll definitely talk tomorrow.
All right, Doc. All right.
All right, sir. Bye.